This podcast is brought to you by the Eisner Award-winning Legend Comics and Coffee in Omaha, Nebraska, and HeroNext.com. Finally, a comic shopping site for collectors by collectors. Achoo!
Let me tell you, there is no rest for the wicked here in the ziggurat, and so it is time once again to play the answer of the week, where we post the question of the week on our Two-Headed Nerd forums. You guys call us, email us, or write in and answer it, and we play those answers on this show. My name is Matt Baum. You probably recognize my voice from the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast, and I love to be here, but it's your guys' show. Of course, we don't have one until the man sitting across from me, Joe Patrick, posts the question. Joey, tell us what we asked the listeners this week.
This week's question came courtesy of somebody.
Someone.
Ryan Mount.
Ryan Mount. That's right.
What is your favorite example of early work by a creator that's now a big name?
Cool.
So, for example, Dan Slott writing Ren and Stimpy and Barbie and Mighty Mouse in
right.
the 90s.
Ethan Van Sciver's Cyberfrog, for example.
Derek Robertson's Space Beavers.
All of which we named last time.
Yeah.
In that order, too. Guess what? We had a new first caller. He actually beat Randy Andrews.
To be fair, Randy sent his in right away.
Okay.
And then contacted me later and said, you know what? I thought of something better. Please use this one instead.
All right.
So
you're still first place in our hearts, Randy. But the TD Dubs calling in on the Ziggurat Hotline.
Hey, Joe and Matt. It's TD Dubs. Tony Doug Wright. Sometimes I'm a THN love slave. Sometimes I'm the head writer at Champion City Comics. So I'm calling in with the question of the week. And this was a great question by Ryan Mount. And it came down to two creators, or actually two writers. The first was, I'm going to pick one, don't worry. The first one was Jeff Johns, and the second one was Brian Wood. I read Brian Wood's demo, which was a comic book, it was about 12 series with Becky Cloonan. But I chose Jeff Johns because around 2002, 2003, I started reading comics again after about a five-year absence, and it was The Flash that I picked up. And I have to admit that I didn't know the name Jeff Johns at the time, but when I picked up The Flash, I was not at all disappointed. I'm a big fan of The Flash, like Joe, and it was an excellent series, and it had a great focus on the Rogues. And Jeff Johns spent some time developing the background of the Rogues and developed their characters very well, and it was a great series. All right, that's my answer. Take care, guys. Bye.
Jeff Johns, doing The Flash.
Yeah, man. Excellent.
Sure, that counts. I mean, I was thinking a little more kind of indie stuff, but that totally counts.
Well, you know, like Jeff Johns kind of got his start doing some real little stuff at DC. He did he did what was kind of the big event one year called Day of Judgment, which was the series that introduced Hal Jordan as the Spectre.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Johns wrote that.
That's right.
And nobody remembers it.
Because it was terrible.
No, it's not. It's not that terrible.
I hated Hal Jordan. I hated him as the Spectre.
Well, Hal he didn't Jordan write that series. He dumb. Just wrote Day of Judgment.
I know.
But yeah, his Flash run, wonderful.
All right. Another voicemail here, this time from Pemberton, New Jersey. No idea where that is.
Hey, it's Ryan Mount, a.k.a. Hebrews on the forums and Twitter, calling in with the answer of the week.
About damn time,
thanks
Mount.
So much for using my question. Can't wait to hear everybody's answers. I posted my runners up over on the forum, but my favorite book from a creator before they were famous is Barry Ween, Boy Genius by Judd Winnick. This book came out in 1999, one year before Pedro and Me, which was Winnick's big breakout, and it was 4 years before he did any work at DC Comics. The reason I love Barry Ween is that if Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes was the kid of the 80s and early 90s, Barry Ween was the next step in the kid of the 90s. It was very much an homage, but it worked. I love the type of comic, which is hard to come by, you know, just something simple and filled with humor, but charming. Kind of reminded me of Images Reed Gunther, which is one of my all-time favorites. So that's my answer, Barry Ween, Boy Genius by Judd Winnick. And thanks so much. Looking forward to hearing the show. Long-time listener, 170 and counting.
Hey! Bye-bye.
He did it.
All we had to do was give him the question of the week, and he actually calls in. Thanks, Ryan. Barry Ween.
Hey, no. Thank you, Ryan.
Barry Ween, great choice. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I love Barry Ween, Boy Genius. Love it.
Judd Winnick did not do enough of that stuff.
It's foul.
I would take more. It was super foul.
It's filthy.
Yeah. Jason Sexier hit us twice. He had to eject on his first one. It was pretty hilarious. Maybe we'll use it as an extra in the end of this. Let's see what he had to say.
The challengers of the unknown must die. We all know Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale from Batman the Long Halloween, Superman for All Seasons, the Hulk Gray, Spider-Man Blue, Jason Sachs, the pink, white, pasty bat guy.
Gross.
But the first series that they did for DC Comics was memorable, interesting, fascinating, and cool, was called The Challengers of the Unknown Must Die. It was a 8-issue limited series that DC put out long before these guys were well-known, certainly long before Jeff Loeb became that kind of disappointing TV series. Right, recently collected into a nice soft cover. It's a crazy series that reinvents the 1960s Jack Kirby characters, the challenges of the unknown, in ways that are completely unexpected, weird, cosmic, bizarre, wacky. All right, I'm going to throw away the thesaurus. It was cool. I loved it. You need to check it out. It's very fun. Loeb and Sale never did anything quite as unique, gender-shattering, and plain wacka. Sale's storytelling was just surreal, with the panels sometimes shattering as you're reading them, with page designs that seem to float and flow in all kinds of different directions. Loeb's story went in all kinds of unexpected directions, sometimes forcing the reader to fill in holes in the plot that weren't really holes, that were actually there by design. Tip off that Mr. Loeb later on that wouldn't work quite so well. overall, a couple of guys who never quite, in my mind, reached that level of brilliance again. Sorry, the fans of Batman Long Halloween. I just love the Challengers of the Unknown Must Die! Bye.
I love the Challengers of the Unknown.
That's a great run.
It was a great story. And I would argue DC wasting this property.
Yeah.
Absolutely wasting. It's like their Fantastic Four, where you can tell the super crazy science stories and just go nuts, go completely nuts with it. And they have done nothing, nothing with the Challengers of the Unknown.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Jason Sexier, very excited about that Loeb and Sale Challenger of the Unknown. And it was cool. And it did recently just come back into printing. Super hard to find those issues.
Check it out.
Yeah. Joe Patrick, we got another first-time caller.
Heyo.
Super excited. We always get all geeked out. My nipples are hard. Let's see what he's got.
Hi there. This is Jay Christian, a first-time caller, long-time listener. I'm calling with the answer of the week for the question, what is your favorite early work by a creator? Lesser-known work from whatever, their early days. Anyway, as I was listening to the question this week, I was literally holding my hand. Marvel Masterworks Iron Fist Volume 2, which contains most of Chris Claremont and John Byrne's run on Iron Fist, and I figured that's a good answer as I'm going to come up with. So that's my answer. I also want to take the opportunity to say I really enjoy the podcast, and so thanks for doing it, and keep up the good work. Over and out.
What? Okay, two things I love about this call. 41 seconds. Dude, totally got to the point. Boom, here it is, and then kissed us on our butts. What a guy.
Let's be real. That's the part you like the most.
Byrne and Claremont's Iron Fist.
Never read it.
I have also not read it.
People love it, though.
People totally love it. I've never read it. I'm ashamed to say that.
That run on Iron Fist contains John Byrne's first ever drawing of the X-Men.
Yeah.
Like the first time that dude ever drew the X-Men was in Iron Fist and co-created Sabretooth. No, wait. Larry.
Before we get to this, welcome aboard, Jay Christensen.
Welcome aboard.
Totally radical.
I'm mixing up. A lot of weird things happen in Iron Fist.
Yeah.
First appearance of Sabretooth. Larry Hama drawing comics instead of writing them.
Yeah.
It's a weird time.
It's a crazy time for the House of Ideas.
I love that answer, though.
That's a great answer. I need to read that. This is not the first time it's been brought up. And someone's like, you haven't read that? And I felt like Joe Patrick. Sorry.
Listen, you make a list of all the comics you've ever read, and I'll make a list of all the comics I've ever read, and we'll see who's got the most gaps in their knowledge.
All right, let's take a break and do it right now.
Okay. Guess what? It's you.
I think we have a first-time MP3er here, too.
Oh,
this
my
is
God!
So exciting! I love this!
Hi, Two-Headed Nerds. This is Hiro, and here's my answer to the question of the week. My favorite work by a creator early in his career is Warren Ellis's run on Excalibur. It was just really good. It was coming off of the year-long period between Alan Davis leaving and Scott Lobdell taking over and just doing all kinds of weird, weird stuff to the book. And then Warren Ellis comes in with a very specific voice and a very specific idea of what he wanted to do with the characters in the book. He reintroduces Captain Britain, not as Britannic. He introduces a new bad guy in the form of this government agency called Black Air, and also introduces, probably my favorite part of it, Peter Wisdom, love interest of Kitty Pryde at the time, and badass James Bond-like mutant with hot knife fire stuff. It was just great.
Yeah, hot knives.
Everything about it was interesting. The first story has kind of a horror element with the soul sword and Nightcrawler being possessed by a demon, and just everything about it was just really interesting. It went kind of dark, but it wasn't just dark and grim for no reason. There was lots of good story behind it. So that was my favorite work of his. It was one of his first works in the US, and it's my favorite.
I loved Warren Ellis's Excalibur.
Yeah. Welcome aboard, Hiro, right on.
Welcome aboard, buddy. Excellent, excellent choice, by the way. That is a lot of fun. That Excalibur run was so great.
Yeah. I love it.
Not as good as Excalibre, though.
Excalibre.
More MP3s here. This might be a first-time caller. We're not sure. We're kicking it around. When we hear his voice, we'll know.
Hello again, Two-Headed Nerd. This is Gene from Chicago. Way back in the ye olde 1980s, I was the definition of a Marvel zombie. X-Men, Spider-Man, Daredevil, and the Avengers of every coast. I read everything I could get my hands on. And that's probably why I just loved the What If books that Marvel pumped out during that era. From time to time, I still go back and reread them, just like the Joe Patrick-style continuity junkie that I am.
Hell yeah.
So, a couple of months ago, imagine my surprise when I opened the What If Daredevil Killed the Kingpin issue from 1989 and noted that the penciler was one 20-something-year-old Greg Capullo. Now, while I and many have been impressed with the quality of work he's been doing on the new 52 Batman series, you shouldn't expect to recognize his current style here. Pre-Batman, pre-Spawn, pre-X-Force, hell, even pre-Quasar. His lines in this book are rougher and very much of the time. You can see a bit of what he would one day become in a lot of the action sequences. However, the reason I love this issue so much then and now is that Capullo made it feel like it could have been another gritty chapter to Frank Miller's legendary Born Again storyline. And I don't have much higher praise than that. So snag it and read it if you can track it down. There are only a handful of great comic artists publishing today which have 25 years worth of continuous work to see their gradual evolution in style, and Capullo is definitely one of those few. Peace.
I had no idea. I own that comic.
Yeah.
I had no clue Greg Capullo has been around that long.
Gene sent a link to Comic Vine.
Wow.
The Comic Vine synopsis of the issue released 25 years ago yesterday.
Wow.
August 1st, 1989.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gene. Great answer, man.
Crazy, messed up world we're living in.
Marvel in the late 80s and 90s are full of dudes doing fill-in work that are famous now, but back then were terrible. I'm looking at you, Aaron Lopresti. I read those annuals.
I love Aaron Lopresti, though. More MP3s this time. Our buddy Shonix, what do you got for us, buddy?
Hello, Twitter nerd. Shonix emailing in with my answer to the question of the week. This one was an easy one, and Matt, don't try to think I'm trying to butter you up or anything. but this was an easy one when the question was given. immediately this came to mind.
Gaven.
And thanks to Ryan Mount for the question. It's a good one. Mount up. what can I say? I'm going back to the well, 1989. I got to tell you, I was a huge, huge Batman fan. That's what really got me buying and collecting comics. And then X-Men, because I love their ads that were on the wall in the comic shop. But, you know, Batman was it because the movie was out and all those things. And I just really got into the whole comic book and buying T-shirts and whatnot. But there was a comic book I bought. It was a Batman book called Gotham by Gaslight. Elseworld's Tale, written by Brian. Here we go, Polis fans. Augustine? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Good writer. And then drawn by Mike Mignola. And that is who, you know, I have to say over the years, as I think back to that and just seeing his pencils and seeing his art, and it was fantastic. And he designed just a great Batman, and to see, you know, where he is now with his, you know, Hellboy and Hell series, but also what BPRD has become in that whole center or that whole corner of the Dark Horse universe or comic line, with the Hellboy and BPRD universe. And then the other, you know, like Witchfinder and, I mean, all Baltimore, and just fantastic reads all around. And the team that he has that surrounds him is just fantastic, too. Just the art talent that's there, the co-writing talent that's there is just amazing. And, yeah, I think back to that old issue once in a while when I'm like, and it's just funny because he was just drawn. That's what he was doing. So, yeah, I would have to say Mike Mignola. Yeah, awesome. Great question. Thanks, guys. And I'll take the rebuttal off the air. Oh, wait, after I hang up. I screwed it up. Peace out.
Thank you, Sean.
There's no rebuttal. That's a great answer.
Yeah, that's a rad answer. Gotham by Gaslight, one of those comics. If I'm ever forced to get rid of my entire collection, I will bury that in the backyard along with a few other books that I will always hold on to. I loved Gotham by Gaslight.
Mike Mignola did a lot of stuff in the late 80s for DC. Not a lot of stuff, but...
Well, he was doing Marvel stuff, too. He did like
a lot of notable things. Like,
yeah.
He drew the Cosmic Odyssey
yeah.
miniseries, which is amazing.
Totally amazing.
He did a couple issues, fill-in issues in the Superman line. Fun stuff. Early
His
Mignola,
run on New Mutants was where I first met him, and I remember everybody hated it, and I loved it. It was so
weird. Was it
weird.
New Mutants or was it Alpha Flight?
It was New Mutants was where I first met him. He did some Alpha Flight stuff, too, but I think New Mutants was before he did the Alpha Flight stuff.
Okay. Well, we're going to hear about Mike Mignola a little later, I suspect.
I have a feeling he'll pop up a few times.
Hey nerds, Matt from Chicagoland calling in with my answer to the question of the week at the last minute. My answer is going to be a little book that Brian Wood put out about 12 or 13 years ago on Oni Press. It was called Pounded. It was fabulous. I know I've spoken about it in the past on the forums, but it was really my introduction to small press books back in the early 2000s. I absolutely loved it. It was black and white. Dealt heavily in punk rock and the punk rock scene in Canada back in that day. I was a young punk at the time, so it really hit home. Dealt with a lot of ideas of selling out and trust fund punks. Anyway, I loved it to death. Check it out if you haven't. Brian Wood, Pounded, Oni Press, early 2000s. It was awesome. Peace.
Jesus, Matt, get off the road.
Calling from inside a jet engine.
Steve Ralston drew Pounded.
Yeah, Steve Ralston, yeah.
I loved that book.
Pounded is a great... It was like a three-issue
totally
mini.
Totally great. Yeah, really yeah. 2002 they came out.
It's a great choice. I got no arguments.
Awesome there. Choice, yeah. Brian Wood, man. Love that guy.
Hey, this is Andrew Blazer, or Blazer, or Andy Laser.
Andy Laser in. It is.
I chose Jim Starlin. because I'm a huge Thanos fan and just a huge fan of his. The issue that I picked was Captain Marvel number 25 from 1973 with pencils by Jim Starlin. And this was his first issue of Captain Marvel. In this issue, Captain Marvel was weakened, so he lost half of his powers at night when there was no direct sunlight.
That's what happens when you get weak.
He,
I suppose,
ends up fighting Skrag and the Super Skrull, disguised as Ronin and the Hulk and Namor and I think a couple other people.
Two guys disguise themselves as people.
Captain Marvel pretends to be defeated so he can discover that Skrag and the Super Skrull are working for Master Lord. And I chose this issue because
I have no idea what's happening.
Is just awesome, you know. I got drawn in from the cover, and it's just great all the way through. It's not necessarily my favorite comic book ever, but it's obvious Jim Starlin's touch in the book, and just seeing the Hulk and Namor just kind of rapid fire fighting Captain Marvel is pretty fun. So it's by no means one of my favorite works of his, but it's definitely a fun read by one of my favorite artists. So that's my answer. Thanks for taking my call.
Who the hell is Skrag?
I have no idea.
Master Lord? I don't even know who these characters are.
It was a long time ago, man. A long time ago.
Digging deep there. Wow.
I respect
Laser.
That, though. I respect it.
I do, too, man. That's that was over my head. Finally, we get to Randy Andrews. To be fair, like we mentioned, he had to redo his. But that's good.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be even better the second time.
He came up with a better answer and resubmitted. That is within your rights.
Absolutely.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews, emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you had asked, what is your favorite early work by a creator, lesser known work from big time creators before they were big names? Well, this week, guys, I have to say that I'm picking Chris Claremont for doing the writing for a comic called The Black Dragon. The Black Dragon is a really cool story about the year 1193 and how King Henry had just died, and a man by the name of James Dunreath, who comes to Britain after the war following the death of King Henry, we find out that there's darkness surrounding the whole story in this medieval time, a world of moldered beings that crawl from their graves to claim the living, and where nightmares are made. Chris Claremont makes this story soar, and of course, he was known for his run on Uncanny X-Men from 1975 to 1991. So it's awesome that he wrote this. Anyway, that's my answer, guys. Hope you like it, and check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.blogspot.com. And Matt, this week, my theme music is The Wind and the Lion by Jerry Goldsmith. See you guys in a week. Bye for now.
From what? The Wind of the Lion from what? I thought it was Star Trek II. I thought that was something from Wrath of Khan. I wasn't certain.
The Wind and the Lion was a 1975 adventure film written and directed by John Milius. It starred Sean Connery, Candace Bergen.
I have no idea what this is.
Brian Keith, John Huston, etc., etc. Sean Connery, man. Dude made all sorts of weird-ass sci-fi fantasy movies in the 70s.
He did. Zardoz. Big chief amongst them. I loved Zardoz.
Basis for the Superman character, Vartox.
There you go.
I love that dude.
Okay. Randy Andrews, The Black Dragon, Chris Claremont.
Deep cut, man.
Very
That's
deep
probably going to be the most obscure thing we hear today.
Very deep cut.
I love it.
We go back to the hotline.
Two-headed nerd. This is the Amazing Spider-Brad calling live
from
the Slowdown in Omaha, Nebraska, where in only moments my band, Flight Metaphor, will be getting on the stage for the show we're headlining this evening. I remembered that I need to call, finally, before Joe Patrick fires me, because lately I've been slinging comics at the Eisner Award-winning Legend Comics and Coffee. That's right.
I'm going to
just
shameless plug after shameless plug
possible this evening on this call, because I can't. So, suck it. All right, so this one it is. Before they were famous or whatnot, I had trouble with this one because I feel like a lot of the artists and a lot of the writers I've been into were kind of into it for a little while before, you know, I got into comics. So I didn't really know what to say. I'm going to go with Matt Fraction, actually. And I'm basing this off of the Immortal Iron Fist run, which was back in, what, 2007, 2008. I absolutely loved it. I saw it come out. I grabbed a whole bunch of the comics. I got all the, you know, the trades, volumes, whatnot. And I loved it. Him and David Aja going together, then to later make the Hawkeye run that's out now. Matt Fraction is just blowing up right now. He's got some great stuff. He's really pushing the limits in everything he does. And I'm really a big fan. And it was the Immortal Iron Fist that, you know, put his name on the, you know, on the ballot for me. Fear itself was great. I love that too. You know, I just can't say enough good about the guy. I don't think there's been a time where I picked up a Matt Fraction comic and was like, oh, damn, this is a Matt Fraction comic. I shouldn't read it. Or, oh, I'm disappointed by this. So, yeah, Amazing Spider-Bread, out. Have a good day, guys.
Totally agree. We were just talking about Matt Fraction on the show. Where the hell is he? What happened at Marvel?
Well, I know where he is. He's
I
that
need
image.
To know. I gotta know.
It's this gossip. We don't need to know.
Sweet high five.
It's
in
a man's personal, personal business.
It's art. My personal business. He owes me an explanation. I love Matt Fraction.
Brad brings up a good point. Like, if you're newer to comics, then
that's fine.
I just think it's interesting to think that, like,
I think some of these guys,
somebody's first exposure to a creator is going to be when they're already well known.
Yeah,
in a lot of cases.
I definitely think some of these guys reworked the question a little bit to, like, my first experience with these guys that are now famous, and that's fine. I don't care.
I don't think
that's
true.
Well, Fraction did a bunch of stuff before he came to Marvel.
Right, but Brad said in his call he's new to comics when that came out. And
And I'm saying it counts. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
But
Jesus, look at you.
But you also said that he reworked the question and he didn't.
A little bit, because Fraction was famous when he did
But to Brad.
I get it.
That was my whole point.
Of perspective, which is what I said from his perspective.
God. You see what you've done, Brad? You're tearing this family
You're
apart.
Driving a wedge between our heads. Good God. Thank you for your call, you bastard.
I'll see you at 10:30 tomorrow. Don't be late.
Hey, Wieners. It's Wooly Toots with my answer
deep in
to
the
your
forest,
question
apparently.
Of the week. I've been missing the last few, but that's because I've been on a pretty intense acid trip in another dimension.
Whoa!
So it's just been really hard to tune in.
And he's a new dad.
To much.
I think that might be
Anyways,
most of it.
Dad's
my
on acid.
Answer goes thusly. I have a number one answer that I've used twice before for two other questions, so I feel like I don't want to bring it up again. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse with it. But I do have a number two, and it's a very, very timely number two, actually. It's quite fitting. So my number two is the Rocket Raccoon 4-issue limited series drawn by one powerhouse, but at the time, I believe it was his first penciling duties ever because he was an inker first. Mike Mignola, oh yes, of Hellboy fame, drawing a Rocket Raccoon limited series, which is pretty nutso. I mean, it's pretty fun. I carried those books with me so much, like not even knowing how much I would enjoy the man's work in the future. I really enjoyed that. Like, I carried those books around with me everywhere. I beat the shit out of them. I would draw images from them. It's just great, great, good stuff. And the story is just nutty, bonkers. Good evening.
So, Mike Mignola, as predicted.
As predicted. Lovely, lovely choice, by the way. We both love him here. We both love his Rocket Raccoon.
It's wonderful.
And guess what? It just shot up in value because of a little movie that Rocket Raccoon is starring in right now.
Maybe you've heard of it. It's called The Guardians of Ga'Hoole.
Ga'Hoole. Back to the hotline.
Hey, nerds. Harvey Locust here. And when I'm not looking for a second job so I can maybe someday come in and get my comics, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. I am calling in my answer to the question of the week very, very late. It's Friday morning, in fact, so I hope this one gets done in time. But my answer for this week's question isn't what a typical one would be. I'm actually going with a podcast because the creator I'm going with is Ramon Villalobos. And now you guys are like, who? What? Trust me. You'll know his name.
No, we're not. We know who he is.
He's working for Marvel right now. He did the Age of Ultron, What If number 2. He's been working on Original Sins, the series. I'm pretty sure he did the first issue. I'm not sure what more he's done from that. But yeah, he used to do a podcast. They still do it every once in a while, called Instant Leftovers. Go check it out. It's very gritty. It's the basis of podcasting. You know, it's the very basics of podcasting, I should say. Done over Skype, recorded, you know, it's the quality is shit. But it's a fun show. Give it a listen, especially if you like news about pizza. That's right, you heard me. Pizza news. Beat that.
Okay.
The Google transcript said, it's a fun show, listen, especially if you like news about pizza. And I thought, well, I can't wait to find out what that means.
Yeah, like, no way, that's what he said.
It's accurate. It's actually accurate.
We know who Ramon Villalobos is, and we both like him a lot. That guy is very, very talented.
I'm sure Matt is confusing him with Ramon Perez.
No, I'm not.
Artist of Tale of Sand.
No, I know who he is, and he is very talented.
I have seen his name around, yeah. And I think...
I didn't know he came from a podcast.
You know what, Harv? I think, you know what? There's one more to go.
Don't spoil anything. Don't spoil anything.
There's one more
to go,
but Harvey, I think... Harvey. I like that answer.
I don't know where you're going with this. It's getting weird. Our final call. Our final call comes from Jason Sexier again. What? What is this?
Breaking the rules?
What? And it came in this morning. So, I mean, like, come on.
It's almost like he got special
Super
permission.
Super freaking late. God, you people. Begging Joe Patrick because you know he's the nice guy. You know Matt Baum will just slap you back.
So, yeah, the theme is naming a favorite early work by a creator who would become a star. Okay, not a creator. I'm just back from San Diego Comic-Con, having spent 5 days plus or minus with our pal Chase Magnet, future star, dude, on the room at the Eisners. I was with him at the after party. He had so many people come up to him and just say great things about him. The dude is going to pass us all and become king of comics in a few years. Just trust me. He's a name that everyone's going to know. I'm Jason Sachs. I had fun at Comic-Con. Hope you guys had a good week as well. Thanks. Bye.
Screw you, Jason. I didn't get to go.
I guess that means we need to kill Chase now.
Apparently.
While he's weak.
Yeah. Like, do we gotta, or at least knock him down a peg, destroy his confidence.
Right, right. Let's hook him to the THN wagon.
Yes.
So that he just gets drug along behind
us.
Yeah,
you'll never be good enough for anyone else, Chase. You're lucky we put up with you, you know? I mean, really.
Just like Aaron Meyer. I mean,
All right, now you can do it. Your favorite call.
You know what? Read them back to me real quick.
Okay. TD Dubs, Jeff Johns, Ryan Mount, Barry Ween by Jed Winnick.
Yep.
The first sexier call, Loeb and Sale, Challengers of the Unknown. Jay Christian, new guy, Vernon Claremont, Iron Fist. Hero. I had Warren Ellis as Excalibur. Gene Law. What? We don't need.
All right. With honorable mention going to Andy Laser.
Okay.
Because I never thought I'd ever meet anyone who loved Jim Starlin as much as Aura. I'm giving it to Harvey Locust because it's way out of the box.
That's
and,
a cool. Yeah, that's
and
cool.
Like Ramon Villalobos, I might end up hating that dude, but I just like the way Harvey went about answering the question.
Yeah, it was cool. Pulling him from a podcast. I like that. That's very cool.
What do you got?
I think Gene Laws was my favorite because I didn't know Greg Capullo had been around that goddamn long.
Yeah, man, dude drew Quasar.
Now that I think about it, yeah. But man, that What If Daredevil Killed the Kingpin, I swore that was like a book in the 70s.
No, it was from the second run of
Yeah, War. Yeah. I know it wasn't. But I had no idea. It just opening my eyes. That's what you guys do. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to Gene Law.
I love it.
That's a fun one. Let's do ours.
All right.
Let's do ours. You want to go first or should I?
I can go first if you want.
Go first.
So, young Joe Patrick, comic fan from way back. It's only getting
before Matt Bomb broke his spirit.
Yeah, right. it's only the comic book. I wanted to call it the comic book cancer, but that's not a good way to phrase it. Yeah.
Whoa, the comic book HIV.
Yeah, right. It's only growing
you
more
can live
and more
with it.
Powerful.
There's cocktails that allow you to live with it. You know,
it's only growing more and more powerful within me, and I was obsessed with the idea.
Ooh, the techno-organic virus.
Oh, sure, sure.
There you go.
I was obsessed with the idea of the Marvel tryout book, which was something Marvel put out in the 80s.
I remember that.
And it was a way for fans to submit their samples for writing, penciling, inking, coloring, lettering.
Now they call it the Ultimate Universe.
Hey-o!
The official Marvel tryout book.
And I was just like so locked in on that idea, like, oh man, if only I could get my hands on that thing.
You'd be there.
Right, right.
Right.
Of course.
I'd be sitting with somebody else right now going, man, that new Joe Patrick book sucks.
As age seven, thinking I'm
gonna
win.
Sold out so hardcore.
So I remember all the ads for it, and I remember thinking how cool it would be, and then never hearing about it again until years later. When I was buying back issues at Page Turner's used books on 50th and Dodge.
Now Page Turner's Lounge. Owned by a friend of mine.
Yeah. And I found old issues of Web of Spider-Man from the late 80s.
Okay.
I have come to learn since then that one Mark Bagley won the Marvel tryout book.
No
for penciling.
Really?
He won.
Wow.
And it got him his first gigs at Marvel.
No.
And that's why we have Mark Bagley. So
and that's how Mark Bagley was born.
Right. So he did some stuff for the new universe. He did Night Mask.
Okay.
Of course, he did my beloved New Warriors.
Yes.
I believe he also did some issues of Visionaries, which was a toy tie-in comic.
I remember that.
But the thing that I saw from him, it wasn't the first time I saw his work, but it was the earliest example of his work that I found. He did a fill-in issue of Web of Spider-Man, number 51.
Okay.
Of course, he's very famously gone on to do a long run on Spider-Man and Ultimate Spider-Man.
Right.
So this was the first time I saw him draw Spider-Man. It was Spider-Man getting involved in a gang war between the Kingpin.
Oh, so good.
The not gang war, not that gang war story. Okay. From, no, this is something
I was
else.
Going straight gang war.
There was a gang war between the Kingpin, the Magia, and this group of werewolf brothers from Mexico.
Okay, I remember this.
The Lobo brothers.
Yes.
And Glory Grant, who worked for the Daily Bugle, was in love with one of the Lobo brothers.
Hey, it happens. He's swarthy, he's Mexican.
He had animal magnetism.
Fuzzy, you know? Yeah. What's not to love?
And it was just, like, looking back, it's the dumbest thing ever. It's like, they're Mexican werewolves that are involved in organized crime, and they are trying to take over for the Kingpin.
Joe, they're just trying to earn a buck.
Okay? All right, okay. And, yeah, Glory Grant is, like, willing to do bad things to protect him because she loves him.
She's in love with him. She fell for a bad boy. He just happened to be a werewolf.
Look, we've all been there, ladies.
Come
am
on.
I right? But, yeah, Mark Bagley. It is so f***ing badass. Because at the time, that book was drawn very, like, cartoony. And Mark Bagley's art is much less cartoony, especially back then. And it was kind of scary looking.
Okay.
And you could see, like, the seeds of what would become. Like, even back then, he was really great.
Right.
Mark Bagley, man.
I love it.
Web of Spider-Man number 51.
I love it.
I knew it the second I read Ryan's question that that would be my answer.
I am taking a page out of a first-time caller. Heroes book. I'm going with Warren Ellis.
Hey.
And I'm going with Warren Ellis because I met Warren Ellis at a really weird time in the early 90s at Marvel Comics. He wrote a few issues of Doctor Strange at the time that were so weird and off the wall and barely made any sense. And I didn't particularly love them back in the day. I came to love them more. But what really grabbed me was the Druid miniseries that he did. Leonardo Manco drew it. It was sort of the return of Dr. Druid, the old failed Avenger. And they sort of build him as this cult character in New York. He's a failed magician. He had like a few hangers on, like some younger girls that he slept with and stuff. And like these people that sort of worshipped him as a folk hero, but he was just a loser. He was a drug addict and he was a drunk, and he decided he was going to reinvent himself and he was going to become a hero again, but he was too washed up and he got too powerful. He like delved into like deep, dark druidic secrets, and it was this darkest, grittiest comic that I think I had read at Marvel Comics at the time. And spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you how it ends because it was so great.
Doesn't Dr. Druid die?
He dies, and his followers burn his body in a trash can. The end. And that was how it ended.
Wow.
I don't know if it was going to become a series and they just made it a limited series because it wasn't selling and Warren Ellis was pissed off, so he just murdered the character. But it ended so suddenly. Like, he was becoming really, really, really powerful and couldn't control his own power. And so he ends up killing himself, and his loser followers just burn his body in a trash can. The end. And I was like, this is the darkest, meanest thing I've ever read, and I loved it. Shortly after, he took over Stormwatch at Wildstorm and wrote what I would argue was one of the most important Wildstorm stories ever, that steered that company into a totally different direction, where he introduced a whole new group of bad guys to take on Stormwatch. It was a storyline called Change or Die. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of my Alan Moore moment, I guess. I was too young to have met Alan Moore, you know, comics back in the day in the 70s and early 80s and whatever. I, of course, returned to him and read him later. But I read Change or Die and went, holy I did not know superhero comics could be like this. And this was very early Warren Ellis. He was this crazy British guy. He had a mouth on him, really good at violence, really good at just ruining heroes' lives. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
Warren Ellis also did that Hellstorm series for Marvel, and I think that came out the same year as Druid.
It did. I went back and I read those later, too, and they were fan-friggin-tastic and very similar in tone. Like, turned Damien Hellstorm into a really scary character. Like, the son of Satan. Not a good guy.
Yeah.
And that characterization is still kind of carried through to today, and I really like that about that character. He's always shirtless. He's good looking. He's an asshole.
Shirtless, but wearing a trench coat.
Yeah. Thinks he should be the Sorcerer Supreme. You know, doesn't understand why he's not. And they're like, well, you're evil. So, no. Right. Warren Ellis. That's my answer.
That's a good answer.
This is a fantastic question. It Ryan Mount. Question. Way to go, man. That was great. Thank you to everybody that called in. We don't have a show without you guys. If you don't call, there's nothing here. It's dead air. Joe Patrick and I arguing with each other.
Did we get enough of that?
We're doing that on our personal beef podcast that's going to start this week,
that's
too.
That's right. Around.
We'll, of course, have another question up this Sunday. Two-Headed Nerd Forums.
It's already up by the time you hear this. You keep forgetting to talk into the future person.
Well, we say that on future the show, tense. Too. So if you're hearing it now, you got one more day to answer.
This week's question, Guardians of the Galaxy, y'all.
Yeah.
Hit us with your review.
It's simple. We want a short review.
Spoilers ahoy.
Tell us your thoughts. I'm curious to see if anyone didn't like it. All I have heard is positive reviews. I'm going tomorrow.
It's going to be great.
I can't wait.
You're going to love it.
I have to go tomorrow because I wasn't invited to go with all my friends on Thursday.
You were invited and you declined to attend.
Had to work. You know how it goes, folks.
Not the same as not being invited.
This is a Two-Headed Nerd, a little butt hurt, and signing off.
What a baby.
I blew it. I need to write this down first. Delete.